You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. If you're enjoying my free radio shows here at BBS Radio, be sure to check out my website where you can watch me doing video interviews at www.galactichistory.com. Tonight, my guest is Carla Fox. Carla studied Peruvian shamanic energy healing with the Four Winds Society, graduating from their Healing the Light Body program in 2002. In 2011, Carla wrote and self-published her book, Traversing the Infinite Now, How to Get from Here to There Without Losing Your Way. It's an excellent tool for awakening and aligning with your soul purpose. Carla also developed a new healing protocol called Quantum Sphere Healing. She is currently training practitioners in this new healing protocol. You can find out more on her website, www.quantumstargate.com. She has a wonderful blog that I follow at www.thecarlafoxblog.blogspot.com. And she has a second website, and that is located at www.farwalkersdestiny.com. So let's welcome Carla to the show now. Hi, Carla. How are you?
Hi, Lance. Here we are, finally.
Yes, we climbed.
After a little snafu.
I was beginning to wonder. The universe threw us a little curveball, and we caught it. So that's, you know, two people being present with intentionality. You know, if we had had to wire up two tin cans, we probably would have done it, right?
Yes. Absolutely. I was looking forward to our interview tonight, and thank you very much for having me on your show. This is pretty exciting for me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You know, I finished your book today, Traversing the Infinite Now, and it is just jam-packed. It was like reading a kind of a synthesis of everything I've learned, thought, felt, taught, so on, in one book. I mean, it just, point by point, it was like, it was almost relentless in its gentle way of showing how to connect with your own purpose. I mean, it's just a wonderful book. It really is. And there were some things in there that I realized that I need to work on. So that part I didn't care for as much, but no, that was good. I always consider that a true test of a person's teaching if I get uncomfortable when I see things and realize things that I need to work on that somebody else is pointing out. I think that's a great test of a book.
Well, and you know, I wrote it because a couple years ago I had several long-term clients and students go into a tizzy about this, that, and the other, and I thought, they should know better. You know, they've been. Mm-hmm. I've been teaching this stuff. They should know what to do in certain situations. They should know how to handle their ongoing issues. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that something written down that they could refer to was what was needed. And this book just kind of wrote itself in about a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had an outline and ideas, and luckily here we had some really bad weather, and I was able to sit inside, and I just wrote and wrote and wrote. So it's more of a workbook, I would say, too, for people to refer to use the exercises, to do the shadow work, just the whole variety of whatever they need to address. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I got to the Me and My Shadow chapter, I really appreciated, you know, how you laid it out so clearly because, you know, I've been doing shadow work for 30 years now, And you know, many people don't even they're awakening really quickly, and it's you know, they don't have the time right now with things speeding up so much to go through the processes that we've gone through and had the luxury of time to experiment with and fall on our faces and pick ourselves up and heal. And mm-hmm. so this is a really practical book that can just take you right to the core. And you can, it's, everything's there. There really isn't anything that I would have added to it. And I'm a pretty critical, you know, reader. So that's high praise.
Yeah. You know, the name of the game is going within, introspection, working your own stuff. And the like you said, the chapter on the shadow work, unless a person has had very good instruction in how to do that, generally people just don't know. Because it's such an indirect thing, and there's no really clear way of saying, oh, this is my shadow, except for what I outline in the book as far as projections and mirroring and how you're triggered. And if you get the hang of that, my gosh, you can work your own stuff anytime.
Mm-hmm. And the parts on the wounded child within and working with your inner child are also extremely valuable, because in my own experience, I found that many people have locked their essence or their inner child in a basement room and put padlocks on it because there was some kind of wounding that went on, and they're so terrified of reliving that a decision was made, and they leave that inner child basically at the age at which it was wounded. And so, you know, it's our responsibility as, you know, wanting to traverse through all of the many things that are lessons to learn, to go back and get that child and then reparent it.
Yes.
You've worked
with
a lot of people, I take it, on all of these things.
Oh, yeah. And inner child work is a regular part of homework that I give to people. That's another reason I wrote the book, so I could have clients, you know, I could say, okay, go to this chapter in the book and work this exercise. That's another reason I decided to write the blog instead of writing another book that might become out of date rapidly. I can refer them to various in the blog to do, you know, other types of exercises. So it saves me a lot of time to have something written down that I can just send them to.
You know, that's when I stumbled across your blog and I saw, you know, the names of George Kavassalis, one of my favorite people on the planet, and chakra removal and the galactic history transcripts on there. I thought, I have to meet this person. She's way ahead of the game. So I was already biased.
No such thing as a coincidence or an accident, right, Lance?
That's right. That's right. Now, you also are a practitioner of shamanic healing, which another one of my favorite guests, Barbara Han Clow, uses and many people use. And I'm starting to get in touch with the, you know, the spirits of nature and so on. How did you get into that, and then where did it take you from there?
Good question. I had worked with several various spiritual groups in the 90s that were all about the Ascended Masters and bringing in the light and all of that stuff. And in 2000, I pretty much had a life reconstruction. I had moved. I got divorced. I was looking for something, you know, something fulfilling, something I could use for my service, because I was free, totally free at that point. And just, again, through a series of lucky coincidences, I went with a friend to Salt Lake City and went to a one-day workshop that Alberto Villaldo, who created the Four Winds Society, that he was giving. And my gosh, I was hooked. And at that point, it brought me back to the organic path, to my connection with the earth, with the spirits, which was totally the opposite of all the stuff I'd been doing in the 90s. And, of course, shamanic work is all about the shadow. Shamans are trained to find the hidden things that the client is not aware that they have, and dig them out and work with them and make the client aware of what they've been stuffing. So, my gosh, that was a huge turnaround, and that started me really on my true spiritual path, I would say. So I studied with them. I did one round of teaching for them. I also studied with a Peruvian shaman. I've been down to Peru 3 times, and so I have extensive training in the practices of the Peruvian shamans. And then I've trained shamanic practitioners, too. Did that for a number of years, but, of course, the shamanic work is good for the heavy-duty entities and, like I said, the dark stuff and the you know, heavy things. And in Peruvian shamanism, they call it hucha. Hucha is heavy energy. All along, I've been looking for another modality to add to my shamanic practice and enhance my shamanic practice, where I didn't have to study something totally new. And then in 2010, I started working with the Monroe Institute in Virginia. And they use altered states of consciousness, HemiSync. You go there, and it's a week-long program, and you're in your little check unit with your blackout curtain and your headphones on, and they lead you through a series of exercises. And I tell you, that propelled me forward big time. It opened up my consciousness, and I know I got a lot of insights in those classes that other students didn't get just because of where I was in my evolution and where I wanted to go with it. So that helped tremendously. And then, of course, in 2011, I wrote my book. And it's just rolled on from there. I was exposed to George's teachings. I actually went to Chicago to one of his workshops when he did his North American, I think there were four workshops, weekend workshops, and I met him personally. And so his work has also opened up new vistas for me tremendously.
Nice.
And then in 2012, I attended a class at the Monroe Institute showcasing a new technology that Skip Atwater had created, and Skip was in charge of the Army's remote viewing program. And then when he retired from the Army, he went to work at the Monroe Institute in a variety of positions. But he was running the lab and doing research on new technologies. SAM technology, spatial angle modulation, puts one into the gamma brainwave state, which is 40 beats per second, versus the HemiSync, which is 4 to 7 beats per second, which is theta. Big difference. Your shamans, when they're rattling and journeying, that's theta. You know, that's every soundtrack or piece of music that has shamanic drumming or rattling, it's the same beat. It's theta. Great for journeying. Great for soul retrieval, that type of thing. The SAM technology, the gamma, 40 beats per second, puts one right into the quantum field.
Wow.
And this is the brainwave state of long-term meditating Tibetan monks. And, man, that blasted open a whole new area.
Right.
And at that point, yeah, at that point I created the Quantum Sphere Healing Protocol. It actually just showed up, part of it showed up during one of the exercises in that class. So it was gifted to me, basically, is what I would say. Yeah.
Amazing.
And so now I use the Quantum Sphere Healing and the shamanic in my practice. If I get a new client, I kind of assess where they are in their evolution. If they haven't had any work, I start them out with the shamanic, because if they have entity attachments or heavy-duty genetic patterns, extraterrestrial implants, the shamanic work is really good for that. So I'm prepared to deal with anything that shows up.
Good, good. And I'm guessing that you find a lot of people that have heavy implants and genetic patterning going on, because we're not aware of those things as they're being installed, and so it does take somebody who's able to work with those energies to be able to perceive them and then remove them, right?
Yes, and, you know, the ET implant removal was not part of my shamanic training, but I found out that when Alberto Villaldo created the, and he told me this himself, created the Healing the Light Body program in the 90s, he did teach his practitioners how to do that. And people weren't ready for it. They freaked out, and he took it out of the program. So he helped me refine my technique. The thing to remember is that ET implants are genetic inherited.
Okay.
It runs in families. This is not something that gets that's thrown at us, you know, at some random point. People are born with them.
Okay.
Yeah. And so through the work I do, I also can track back to where the original, I see what ET race shows up, first of all, when I'm removing the implant. And through some other techniques, I can track back to the origin of when that genetic stream got mixed in with that person's family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And
now,
I tell you, when I first started doing my shamanic work, of course, that work requires testing of the chakras. And I didn't have very many people with root chakra issues. In other words, the safety, the security, the fear. As time has gone on, I've seen across the board more and more people coming to me with root chakra issues because of the acceleration on the planet and the uncertainty of life. Yeah.
Do you find that there's a lot more programming and, you know, mind control going on in society in general? I mean, we know the obvious, which is that, you know, there's marketing and television and advertising and radio and chemtrails and fluoride and so on. But, I mean, aside from all that, do you notice that people seem to be programmed a lot more in that direction for fear and so on, to throw them off base?
You know, I think they always were. I just think that it's coming out so much more now that it's driving people the other way. People are, you know, there are those of us who are awakening, and there are people who are burrowing down into their unconscious state. Who are depending more and more on technology, their cell phone, video games, you know, believing whatever is put out there on the news, and they are becoming more and more. There's this whole segment that's becoming more unconscious, I have to say. And unfortunately, those are probably the ones who would not seek healing. It's the ones who know something's wrong, and they've been, you know, doing the best with their stuff, and they think they need more help. Those are the ones that come to me.
That makes sense.
You know, as far as the programming, I work one-on-one. That's my focus. And so I gather my information from what I find on the clients. Don't do a lot of tracking with the worldwide situation. I hear stuff, of course. But my obligation is to the individual that I'm working with in the moment.
There's kind of something that George touches on quite a bit in his book, Our Universal Journey, and that is that we seem to be pushed down a kind of a divergent path, that there's one group that's going towards a technological and, as you said, an unconscious direction. Implants, the nanotechnology, brain enhancement, all kinds of things. And then there are those of us who have been around for a while who are a little wary about all that, who are reconnecting with the nature spirits and with the planetary being or Gaia Sophia, and we're embracing more and feeling into the planet and actually connecting at the heart level. And that kind of brings us into a nice way to talk about the chakras, the ancient chakra system, and versus the one heart system. I'll let you just kind of take it wherever you want to go with that.
Okay. You know, and I was thinking about this about an hour ago, and you know, a few points I want to bring up about that. First of all, as I kind of look into how this whole thing has evolved, and Andrew Bartzis talks about this, how the planet has gone down from seventh dimension all the way down to where we are. Mm-hmm. Well, the unified light that exists above the fourth dimension has also dropped down into 4D from fifth dimension and above. As soon as it drops down into the fourth dimension, it splits up into those rainbow colors.
Mm-hmm.
But right away, that tells you the chakra, the traditional chakra teaching with the colors, the rainbow colors, is strictly a fourth dimensional paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get above the fourth dimension, it's a unified vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And some people feel that the chakras do unify. You know, say if you ascend and go up to the fifth dimension, that those colors kind of merge back together. But that is not what I have found. They stay separate. They're designed to segment the human energy field.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tracked the chakras out. There is no point at which they merge into a unified body of energy.
Mm.
So that's one clue right there.
Yes.
And then the other, when I train shamanic practitioners, they are trained to use the pendulum to check the chakras, use their hand and run it up the body to feel the energy difference in the chakras. And from the, at least the root chakra to the throat, no matter what size or shape your body is, they are spaced evenly up the spine.
Huh.
So if you're taller, there's more of a space between the chakras. If you're shorter, that's a challenge for beginning shamanic practitioners because they have to gauge the length of the torso when they're checking for the chakras and keep that in mind.
That
right away tells you that they're an artificial construct. Say, for example, people are born with various, you can find various distortions in the body, maybe a kidney missing, or one eye lower than the other, or one leg shorter, or the torso twisted, something like that. And so there can be some, you know, or the heart a little bit farther over, some variations in physicality, and yet the chakras are still spaced evenly all the way up the spine.
Mm.
So that tells me that it's an artificial construct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not organic. You know,
mm-hmm.
if it was organic, maybe you'd find a chakra, you know, sticking out of your liver or your knee, something like that.
Right.
And it, you know, because people's bodies are not born all uniform.
That's right.
And that's yet they're evenly spaced all the way up. So that's another red flag. So, you know, I like to look at the rational explanation for this. And then, of course, your colors and vibrations. The root chakra is a lower vibration. It's red. The crown is a higher vibration. And yet our bodies, your big toe is not of a lower vibration than your thumb.
That's right.
So our bodies also do not match that lower to higher vibration. And so all these are hints that something is off there.
Well, yes.
Go on, Lance.
Well, it seems like what we're talking about is that they're creating a hierarchy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Go on. This is really good.
Yeah. Well, and it does segment the human energy field. Now, if you're working fourth-dimensional issues, yeah, that works because you can work the safety, security of the root chakra or your power issues and identity of the third chakra. Everything, you know, there's a plus and a minus to this, but at a certain point, I think we have to let go of working our issues in a segmented way because
mm-hmm.
with the chakras segmenting the energy field, that also means that our energy field can never be unified, and an energy field that's segmented can be more easily controlled and manipulated by hitting the certain segments or the certain themes of the chakras with negative programming. If your field is unified, that is much less likely to happen.
That makes a lot of sense, and it's kind of reminds me of the fact that computers allow back doors into the they build them back into the computers themselves, so that various agencies can get in and do whatever they whatever they think they have to do.
Yeah.
And so, because this is something that goes back to the early, the gods or the ETs who came here and created these systems, it seems that they're just as much systems of control and manipulation as they are systems that we can use, because they further fragment us. And, in a unified field, how many people can hold seven balls up in the air and juggle them at the same time?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think that the powers that be, whoever that would, be thousands and thousands of years ago, took advantage of the fracturing of the unified light into the rainbow colors, took advantage of that and manipulated that. Now, I have not seen any evidence that these are, that the chakras are ET implants. That doesn't mean that they aren't, but that, my investigations have not taken me there. But I, clearly they are designed to draw heavy energy, negative energy programming into the chakra system. And that article that you sent me from, was that from Eve Lorgren on the chakras. She had a nice diagram in there from Barbara Brennan about how the chakras come out as funnels from the body, and the other diagram showed how two people facing each other interact through the chakras. People attach to each other from chakra to chakra.
Right.
So if someone wants to overpower and control someone, they may send a stream of energy from their third chakra, their power and control center, into the other person's root chakra, the safety and security, to keep them enslaved through the system of, either fear-based, keeping them afraid, or providing what they need for their safety and their security. So people attach to each other from chakra to chakra. It's not always the same one across the board. It could be, like I just said, third chakra to root chakra. By removing the chakras, you eliminate that baloney from going on, too.
Right. Right. So there's less possibility for manipulation.
Yes.
And, you and I are both very well-versed on the New Age movement, and it has some wonderful points. But one of the things I remember that I was excited about and was, chomping at the bit on was when people were saying, well, there are really 12 chakras, and we have one below our feet, and then we have two or three above our heads, and we're going to be galactic citizens and the rest of it. I thought, wow, this is great. More chakras. Fabulous. But, when I started looking at this as a result of George and your work, it made sense that if we were going to be further manipulated and controlled in a new creation, it would make sense to roll out a bigger sandbox. So, in other words, if I were a god and I had all these humans at my fingertips, worshiping and, attached through these various devices, well, when that game came to an end, I'd just give them more, give them a bigger sandbox and say, well, look, you've got a galactic connection and you've got this. And then they'd be further fragmented, and that might be good for, 10 or 20,000 years. But once you've gone through it, it's kind of like everything. It's going to be, old news, and you're going to be stuck going over and over and over, like the cycles of incarnation seem to be happening.
Yeah, and in fact, I had a question from a client a couple months ago about the Earth Star, and I've never been a part of any group that has taught that modality, but supposedly there are groups that teach that there's an Earth Star that's just below the surface of the planet, and to ground yourself into that. And my client asked about that, and I thought about that a bit, and I said, well, I think that's something that someone invented to prevent us from going all the way to the core of the Earth.
Right.
Yeah, if you're only grounding into the Earth Star, you're stopping way short.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people are going to be curious about this topic, and I'm wondering if you'd like to just briefly give people an idea of, you know, what the because we're going to both be asked, you know, well, how do you remove your chakras, and where do you go, and... You know, so what's entailed and how easy is it and so on?
Sure, yeah. Well, and I checked a little while ago on my blog, and I've had that post on chakra removal has had to date 2,100 page views.
Okay.
It is the most popular post that I have.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, let me go through the process, and I do write about it there, although I still get questions. I do have to say that I removed mine a little over a year ago and felt an instant sense of peace, like that exterior noise was not happening anymore. I've been in situations where I would have been triggered previously and nothing happened. So I can say that it was definitely a positive change for me, and I owe that to George, you know, for actually promoting that, and I took the ball and ran with it. So,
Great.
Yes. Peace, calm, more myself, more able to access my own guidance. But the process, and everyone can go to my blog, and that post was about a year ago on chakra removal. So, this is the process, and especially for you, Lance.
Okay.
for you to take a crack at it, too, here.
All right.
So, I recommend that you sit up and get in a nice, calm space. Now, I know George likes to roll his chakras into his core. What I like to do is have people expand their core essence. So that's the first step. Just with a couple fingers of one of your hands, tap your, it would be like your sternum heart area a couple of times to wake that area up. And then travel in there and find a golden core of energy. This is your fifth dimensional core essence. And then with your breath, and I always like to have people be audible with the breath, like you're blowing up a balloon through your nose and then out through your mouth and blow up that core essence until it is bigger than your body. So you're sitting inside your own fifth dimensional bubble of energy. And this I recommend people do routinely anyhow. And this is where we're going as we go up, you know, traverse through the fourth dimension into the fifth. This will be our energy field. So get that nice and plump. You may also be able to feel that with your hands, almost like you're feeling a pregnant belly, but really big. And then and I'm assuming that the person who is doing this knows where their chakras are located. If you don't, there are plenty of resources out there on the internet and books that will tell you where they are. But you can either, with your hands, gather up each chakra individually, pluck them out of your body. And what I so for example, if you are starting with your crown chakra, reach up there with your hands. Intent goes a long way with this, too. If you can't feel them or see them, intend to do this. Pluck your crown chakra out of your head. Bring your hands in front of you. thank that chakra for its service. And then what I like people to do is just with their hands, squeeze that chakra down to nothingness until it's totally gone. So what you're basically doing is combusting the chakra within your fifth dimensional bubble.
Mm.
And then go to the next one. I recommend doing all seven in one session, although I've had people who will do one and then wait a few days and then do the next one. After I taught the quantum sphere healing class for the first time, actually is when I removed mine. It was a couple days after, and because we had expanded our core essence routinely for every exercise during the class, when I checked my chakras, they were popped way out of my body and only connected by a little thread. So in that case, I gathered them all up together in one ball and then combusted them.
Okay.
Yeah. You can also gather up the chakra and press it into your core, deep into your core, which is more like George's method. Then I recommend you get yourself checked. Now, anyone who has done healing work using a pendulum or checks chakras with kinesiology, muscle testing, they can check to see if they're gone or not. A lot of people have trouble detecting if theirs are gone.
Very good,
so
very good.
And important.
And then the heart, the core of your heart then becomes, and I also like and resonate to what you and George are saying also, that rather than bringing the light in from someplace else through the crown and so on, that we are the light, we bring it in, or we bring it from within us, and that radiates out. You bring it, you expand it from within.
Yes.
And that was I had never heard that before. He had, you know, I'd heard him talk about that.
Okay. And imagine walking around all day long with that expanded like that. I really think that this is how, you know, the reports you have heard about the saints and sages of old who could just touch a person and they'd be healed. I think they were expanded in that fashion, and their energy field affected the sick person that got healed.
Oh, yes. That makes complete sense.
Yes, and they were bringing it from inside out.
That's right. And if we're fragmented, we wouldn't be a unified field, which represents fifth density and higher.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And as I work with my core essence, I've gained more insight into what it is, and it turns out it is a rotating tube torus.
Oh.
So it's not just a balloon that pops out and just stays in that shape. It actually rotates. So it is the microcosm of the Earth's magnetic field. That rotates from North Pole to South and then back around. The sun does the same thing. So we are going from a fragmented, segmented state to more of a mirror, a smaller version of the Earth or the sun's or the Milky Way's, the way their fields rotate.
Wow. I'm wondering now if that has any correspondence at all to the difference between an electrical system, which is an interference pattern on the Earth, and the magnetic system.
Yes, because, my gosh, and someone who's got heavy ET energy, I can feel that electricity.
Mm.
It's more of a straight line, jabbing feeling versus a smooth magnetic rotating. Extraterrestrials don't have the... you know, they have the smooth rotating field the way I'm describing it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So generally, if I'm doing an intake interview on the phone with a new client, my gosh, I get that electrical vibe right away if they've got that going on. And I know I'm going to find something.
Right.
It doesn't harmonize with the human energy field.
Huh. Right. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So when you hear about people who have problems with their watches or their computers, you know, one explanation may be that they're running a lot of positive energy, but quite often the explanation is that they're running a lot of electrical energy, and that's interfering with the, you know, with the TV, with the computer, with the watch, whatever it may be. So it could be either one.
And of course, there's so much electrical energy around us, from the wiring in our houses to cell phones, and then as we got familiar with in the Galactic History series, the sacred geometry cities are created for that.
Yes. Yes. And it's getting worse and worse. I think to pry people away from that, we might have to have a total grid blackout. Because people are so dependent on that kind of thing. And they're so used to it. That's where, the point you brought up in the beginning about the bionic implants and the, you know, chip in your hand that's like a credit card and all of that. The younger people are so used to that technology and being surrounded by that, that those are the ones who are going to go for those kind of implants into the body. You and I will not.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I don't even have a cell phone yet. I've managed to hold off so far.
Okay. Good for you. but yes,
I mean, they might round us up and make us get cell phones, but until they do, I'm not gonna jump on that one.
Well, I got my track phone from Walmart, and it's good enough for me.
Well, I'm curious,
I recommend people after they remove their chakras have someone check them.
Oh, right, sure. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I noticed a difference immediately, Lance.
Did you?
I have had
friends remove theirs recently, and I've heard amazing things going on with two people in particular. And so
okay.
I'm starting to do some research and a little bit of writing about it. I'm on a Facebook group called Galactic History Discussion Group, and we're talking about it there and comparing notes. And a couple of people have removed theirs, and others are, you know, well, I'm never removing mine. But the ones who have had some amazing epiphanies and connections to their guides and team and their own higher self. So it looks like the right direction. We were talking about all of this in 2011 that, we were moving into a unified field of consciousness. Well, what I didn't realize was that we're in a window, and that window is probably going to remain open for a while.
Okay.
And, people are choosing where they want, you know, where they want to start, you know, where they want to continue their experiences in physical form or non-physical form. So, this is the time when it's really wise to pay attention to what you want, because this might be a reset moment. Don't you think that this is a major reset coming up ahead on the horizon?
Yeah.
I mean, for everybody.
Yeah, I agree entirely.
Yeah.
Well, and I look at it a little differently also, that before we're born, we make all these choices.
Right.
We have a plan.
Right.
And, my gosh, that's a whole nother discussion about free will and all the rest of that. And so in a lot of ways, we think we're making the choice. As George says, it's a matter of perspective. From down here, we think we're debating this or that, or, you know, do I go here, do I go there, whereas our higher aspects have already, our higher self has already made the choice.
Right.
Made before we were born, and we just need to go along with the program.
right. And we're just kind of, wandering around trying to figure out, well, what choice did we make? You know, it's kind of like Neo and the Oracle.
Yes.
You know, we're just trying to figure out, you've already made the choice, you're just trying to figure out, why you made it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I find
that's
that
why we're here, too, is yeah. we're here to flex those muscles and learn to discern and go through the illusion of making choices, because we develop ourselves through that whole process of baiting and looking at both ends of things. So mm-hmm. that's part of the learning for us here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And many have come in at this time. We've been familiar with this idea, but there are, you know, millions of people that are here that have come in from other systems and from past lives, and, you know, nothing is as it seems, is it?
Oh, it's so much more complicated than we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It really, in one sense, it's so complicated because we're such complicated beings even before we get here. But on the other hand, it can be so simple, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one foot in front of the next, doing the best mm-hmm. we can every day, and having the intent to evolve. And that's not complicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and holding your integrity and not creating new new karmic backlashes, using the universe as a mirror for, you know, mm-hmm. and understanding that everything we do, think, and feel is projected into the collective, and that it creates ripples, and that we're not powerless beings that are victims of large systems and so on, which you just cover so beautifully in your book.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yes.
I wanted to tell you I had a chance
to read some more of your transcripts this afternoon.
Oh.
Andrew Bartz's transcripts. And I tell you, it's so much more fulfilling than listening to the, you know, watching the YouTubes.
Good. Yes, because
I'm catching all the nuggets in there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm underlining things. And, yes, great job with that, Lance. And I recommend everybody get those transcripts. Yes.
Oh, thank you. And aren't they a lot more fun than when I say, you know, that I have transcripts of the videos? I'm forgetting that, you know, I had fun putting pictures and hyperlinks. Aren't they fun to, aren't they fun to have? I mean, they're really cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's
pictures,
an energy to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, anybody that wants to get the transcripts so they can sit down and take their time and digest the material, I'll put a plug in now. They can go to my website, www.galactichistory.com, so and find out. You can look at a sample there.
I highly recommend it.
Oh, good. Yeah. Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
Well, and I also wanted to mention that, if people go to quantumstargate.com, mm-hmm. I've got my next Quantum Sphere Healing workshop booked for Southern California.
Oh,
May
3rd wow.
to the 5th near Encinitas. Yep. I'm registering
nice.
People for that. And, of course, they can get onto my blog and register there to get the posts as soon as they come out. And that's the Carla Fox blog.blogspot.com.
Very good.
Yeah. Yes.
Very good. And now that we're just about out of time, so you know, this is a good time to segue into what other things, what other are your other websites, and where they can find your book and blog and so forth.
Yeah. Well, and the book is listed on both of my websites. It was first listed on the firewalkersdestiny.com website, which is my shamanic website. So I'm juggling both of those, but there's a link on Quantum Stargate, and the only place you can get the book is from me, because it's self-published. I have it printed in town here, and so on those two websites, that's the only place you can get the book. I'm supporting my local printer.
I love it. I'm going to keep it by my bedstand, and when I wake up in the middle of the night, I just open it and read part of that, and it's perfect. It's like almost like it's just the perfect information that I need to have in my consciousness as I go back into the dream state.
That's
so
good.
I really love your book.
Oh, thanks, Lance. Ah, thank you.
Well, yeah. Carla, we're at the end of the hour, so I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. And I look forward to having you back again so we can get into, you know, some deeper things and maybe drill down into some of the details that people are still wanting to find out about. So I just wanted to thank you for sharing with us tonight. It's a wonderful experience.
Well, my pleasure. And believe me, we just scratched the surface here, Lance. There's so much more we could cover. Yeah. So I look forward to
stay
speaking
in touch,
to you again.
Right?
And,
yeah.
Yes. We'll tackle something else next time.
That's right. It'll be wonderful. Okay. All right, Carla. Thank you so much.
Okay, and thank you too, Lance.
All right. Good night, Carla, and good night, everybody at home.